And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely 4th of July weekend, and hopefully you're tired enough now where you can settle back and give us an hour of your time, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so we hope you will call and participate. That's very, very important to us. That number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to call in. Please do it as soon as possible, because sometimes we do get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, and we don't like to hurry people if we don't have to. So again, that number is 415-841-4134. Also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter, one word, @yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, as many people do, you can hear it by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, the ultra-competent Debbie Kennedy is here, and she made brownies for us as well. So all the more reason to love her. And that of course, is you will find our podcast at kalw.org. Also, an email has come down to me that when I say down, I mean down, because I'm lower on the food chain, but that they are working hard on getting all the bugs taken out of the podcast business. So hopefully that will all be resolved. And I know there have been some complaints about that. I don't know anything about it, but I mean, I know about your complaints, but I don't know how to technically. But so hopefully that will all be ironed out, and so we'll be available on iTunes and not just the KOW website. You can always go to the KOW website if you want the podcast of the show, but we'll try to get everything straightened out. Okay, thank you. So we're going to start with a round of introductions. Oh, I also want to remind you, we'll be taking questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So that being said, here's the first intro. Jerry Nachman is just back from drama binging at the Shaw Festival at Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario. 8 shows in 6 days, a playgoer's paradise, and the best-kept secret in the theater world. You didn't make a pun out of it, though. I thought you maybe say you Shaw a bunch of plays.
Oh, Shaw.
All right.
You saw 8 plays all by Shaw?
No. They do plays by other people, by his contemporaries.
Oh.
They're older plays. J.B. Priestley.
Oh, okay.
People I never heard of.
And Inspector Calls, do they do that?
Well, he lived to be 94, so that's a big span of time.
Oh, that is true.
But they also do a musical every year. They did a terrific cabaret.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's worth going to.
Okay.
I'm not being paid to say that. Okay. Josh O'Cosman wept because there were no worlds left to conquer until he met a man who had no army.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, watched his second parade in a week. As much as he loves his town of Alameda, he feels that a few drag queens on roller skates wouldn't have hurt one bit.
All right. That is us. We'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. Why do tennis players at Wimbledon wear only white?
Because it's before Labor Day?
No.
They're virgins?
No.
Why do they wear white?
I thought they could wear occasional other colors now too, but maybe not.
They don't like it. They get
they get
chastised. Yeah.
All right.
Some of them have tried to sneak in a headband or colored it, but no. It's not just tradition. It has become tradition, but the original reason.
Would it have anything to do with the reason that we're, like, cricketers wear all white as well?
I guess they do. I don't know. I think they seem to.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with cricket.
Okay.
Cricket.
But it's a traditional thing.
Yeah.
And you want to know the reason.
Like 100 years old or something.
I have to think about that.
Yeah.
It's sort of a practical reason. Although it's also, and that practical is not quite the right word.
Practical not in terms of the heat or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
All right.
Is it the heat? Keeping the heat off?
White breathes, white doesn't, it deflects the sun.
No, you're kind of warmed, so to speak. But no, that's not quite it.
All right.
But it's weather related. It's climatological in some way.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Huh. All right. Why don't you read the question?
You stumbled onto that very nicely. Oh, another one? All right.
No, no, just read the... Oh, unless oh, that was yeah. the answer. Is what that was that
No,
the,
that's okay. not good enough.
All right.
Why do tennis players at Wimbledon wear only white?
Okay. All right. And Josh, why don't you go ahead?
So last year, the readers of Travel and Leisure, there was a Travel and Leisure magazine had a poll among its readers to name the cities that had the most and least attractive residents. I have the list of the. I figured I.
Is this a world thing or a
no American cities? Okay. I beg your pardon.
That's a great way to build your readership.
They asked. I was interested. So, what are the five most? What are the five cities that have the most attractive residents? What are the top five cities with the least attractive residents, according to the readers of Travel and Leisure magazine?
Well, San Francisco must have.
San Francisco is number one, baby.
Most attractive.
Give yourself a bow. Right. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
where they... Well, you skewed the poll, Jerry. Come on.
How do they judge that?
They just looked at us.
Yeah.
Well, L.A., of course.
L.A. is not on the list.
Really?
No.
No kidding. This is in America or in the world?
This is America.
Okay.
I don't know. This sounds fishy already to me.
I like it.
San Francisco, but not...
San Francisco, where the...
He wouldn't have... First of all, he wouldn't have asked the question, I have a feeling. Or yeah. He might have.
I might
have. If San Francisco had not been somewhere in the top five.
Yeah.
What else? Well, let's try...
New York.
No. New York was... New York is on the least attractive.
On the least attractive.
Yeah. Not the top five. It's number nine.
How about Seattle for most attractive?
Good guess. That's at number nine, but not in the top five.
All right. And so, okay, these are all major American cities.
These are all American cities that you've heard of. I'll tell you that of the remaining four on the top ten, on the top five, excuse me, of the most attractive, we've got two in New England and two in the South. We're done. San Francisco tapped out the Midwest and the West.
How about Cleveland for least attractive?
No.
How about Boston for most?
No.
All right. All right.
I don't like this.
Well, I didn't like your question.
Soldier through it, Jerry.
Don't take it personally.
I don't.
It's a poll, not your question.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Brian from San Francisco.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. I have a series of... Hold on a second. Let me turn my radio down. I have a series of names, four names, and they are the names of well-known actors and actresses. This is their real names. See if you can guess.
Oh, Jerry likes this sort of thing.
Yeah, I like this stuff.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Spangler, Arlington.
Robert Taylor.
Oh,
he's all over it.
You know,
Let the man speak, Jerry.
I did.
All right.
Virginia McMath.
Oh, is that Ginger Rogers?
It is.
Yes, very okay. good, yeah.
Yeah.
Melvin Edward Hesselberg.
Melvin Douglas.
That's Melvin Douglas, yeah.
Right.
It is. And Maria do Carmo da Cunha.
Ooh.
Maria Callas?
Nope.
Carmen Miranda?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Well done.
Good one.
And that's it.
Good
so did
question.
I get a bell there?
Yeah, you did.
Terrific.
There you go.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay. A couple questions. It seemed appropriate to do something on the Declaration of Independence, since this is a July 4th weekend. So two signers of the Declaration of Independence had sons who were elected president. One, of course, is quite easy, but who is the other? Well, give me both of them.
John Adams is one.
Right. And, of course, his son was
John W. Bush Adams. No, John Quincy Adams.
That's right. So who's the other one?
James Madison?
No.
No.
He had a ne'er-do-well son. As far as I know.
No. You that would be, if it was James Madison, you would be saying James Madison's father had signed the Declaration of Independence.
Right. No.
You're saying there's a signer?
Right. Okay, but...
A signer
but two
whose son...
I didn't say that the signer couldn't have been president, too.
Oh, okay.
I'm just
All
saying
right.
that they had a son who was president as well.
Well, let's turn it the other way around. It's easier to think of. What presidents... had fathers who were signers of the Declaration.
Yeah,
of
if that helps, go ahead.
Well, yeah, because I know who the presidents are. I don't know who the hell signed
all
the
right,
Declaration.
All right. So I'll just repeat the question.
Yeah.
Two signers of the Declaration of Independence had sons who were elected president. Josh got John Adams as son, John Quincy Adams. Who's the other one?
wasn't Button Gwinnett, I know that.
No, it wasn't Button Gwinnett.
My favorite signer.
The most valuable autograph of all time, practically.
Is that right?
Yeah, one of them, anyway.
Really, huh?
Jefferson.
Is that his real name, by any chance?
Yeah, yeah.
Jackson, yeah. Monroe, John Quincy Adams. I'm just kind of going through the
All right, well,
here.
Think we'll, it over.
I'll
for,
think it over.
All right,
you
do
bet.
That. What is the only major U.S. city that doesn't allow schools to be named after slave owners? Like a Washington or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. What is the only major U.S. city that does not allow its public schools to be named after slave owners?
Is it in the South?
It's in the United States.
Okay, well, I'm on a Madison kick. Madison, Wisconsin?
No, that's interesting.
It's kind of a PC city.
Yeah, it is kind of.
Berkeley.
That's an interesting guess. But
yeah.
No.
Seattle.
No. So once more, what is the only major U.S. city that does not allow its public schools to be named after slave owners, as in Washington, for instance? There are no schools named after Washington. And the two signers of the Declaration of Independence had sons who were elected president, John Adams and John Quincy Adams. Who was the other one?
So I'm just going through presidents here, and my guess is going to be the son is William Henry Harrison. That seems like the first president I got to who seemed like—
You're right.
Is that right?
You're right.
Sweet.
You're right. Very good. William Henry Harrison.
I didn't know that his father was a signer, but
his father had the same name as a future president.
Benjamin Harrison?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, darned.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
I'll ask you one more on this blank. Who is the only classical composer to have a university named after him? Who is the only classical composer in the world to have a university named? And this is a full-time classical composer, not a somebody who's—
Oh, I thought you were going to say a full-time university. A full-time classical composer.
Yeah. Who is the only— It's in Europe. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Who is the only classical composer to have a university named after him?
Huh. Wagner.
Yeah, that's a pretty good guess. No, not Wagner.
I was going to guess Dvorak.
No.
All right, I don't know. It's good.
And
Dvorak High.
No.
college, yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, from Union City.
Hi.
Got a couple questions.
Okay.
My first one is, who was the only member of the supporting cast of the match, besides Peter, of the match feature film to be played by the same actor in the first episode of the television series?
All right, once more. I didn't hear the first part.
Well, this was the one. Who was the only member of the supporting cast of the match feature film, besides Radar, to be played by the same actor
in the
first episode of the television series?
Oh, okay.
What do you mean, besides Radar?
The only person from the movie who was in the television series, well, he's saying there are two, but...
Yeah, there were two.
There were Radar.
Oh, I was going to say Radar. That's too obvious. You want another one.
And there's another one. But only in the...
He plays a part in that football game at the end of the, near the end of the film.
Oh.
Well, who doesn't?
Ooh, yeah.
Same actor, by the way.
It's the guy who's actually an NFL player.
No.
You know who I mean, though, right?
I'll give you a clue. He shares the name of a keyboard instrument. The character.
With a keyboard instrument.
Casio. Piano. Spin it.
No, we don't know.
Gerald Hammond.
Oh. Hammond.
Yeah.
The one who owned that football game that was at the Oregon.
Well, Daryl Hammond, game. Yeah.
Right.
The same actor played the same character appears in the first episode of the series. And
okay.
That was it.
All right.
Here's my second question.
Mm-hmm.
Norman Fell and Don Otto both played the landlord in the Three's Company television series. Both appeared in the same feature film, but shared no scenes together.
What were their names?
Norman Fell and who was the other actor?
Don Knotts.
What's
both appear in the Freeze Company. They appear in the same feature film, but they had no scenes together.
Oh, boy. Was Don Knotts the star of the movie?
No. It's a small cameo. He's only there for about 5 minutes.
Oh. It's a mad world?
Yes.
That's right.
It's right at the beginning from one of the detectives involving the death of Jimmy Durante.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Knotts was in that movie?
Yeah, he had a little bit, isn't it?
It seemed like that was way before his time.
No, it's 65, 64, 65.
No, Don Knotts, he was taking a hiatus from the Andy Griffith Show when he was doing the film.
Right. All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
And, Jerry, your turn.
Okay, what classic American painting got the most votes among 100 artworks that will be posted this summer by an organization called Art Everywhere, which plans to fill 50,000 billboards across the country this summer. What was the number one vote-getting painting?
American Gothic.
American
Gothic by Grant
Wood?
I thought Jerry said American what?
I just didn't hear. Okay.
But it's an American painting.
Yeah. Very famous.
Whistler's Mother.
No.
Christina's World.
No.
That's good.
That's all the paintings I know.
You have a very barren house.
Let's I'm sure it's not, you know.
Is it, can you, let me just ask you this. Is it a portrait of anybody?
No.
Okay. It's not a portrait. So is it a landscape, kind of?
No. It's an urban scene.
It's Nighthawks. Yeah.
Did that give
it
to
you?
I was going to get there, but
Nighthawks. I was going to go either there or the Radiator Building.
Yeah, Nighthawks.
The Georgia Nighthawks, Radio. Good. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Very good.
All right. Good job. All right, give us another question, Dave.
All right, I will. What song was banned by British Airwaves during a war?
Which war? World War II?
I'm not telling you what war.
So you want the song that
what,
was banned?
What song was banned by British on the British Airways during a war?
A war.
Well, there's a Noel Coward song called "Don't Let's Be Beastly to the Germans."
Yeah, that's a good song.
That's a great song.
No, not that. That's a very good guess. No.
Okay. All right. All right.
Well,
because that was really
"Let's Spend the Night Together" by the Rolling Stones was certainly banned during the Vietnam War. How about that?
Not any connection
between the two. I'm just
it was banned
saying.
On the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
No.
Huh. Don't know.
He's not saying which war.
Very famous song.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Okay.
Huh. Okay. Right.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle. They're a classical music critic, Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station, and the number to join us with a question or answer. And we do have a couple of lines open, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Stephen in San Francisco.
Hi, Stephen.
So when I read this in the paper the other day, I thought immediately of your show. I don't know what that says about me, but...
Well, it depends. We have to hear the question first, then we'll know.
It's a science question.
Okay.
So the bacterium that causes leprosy evolved with human beings, and it's only human beings that are susceptible to the leprosy bacterium, so it makes it difficult to research, except there is one non-human animal that is susceptible to the leprosy.
It's an armadillo.
There you go. You read the same article.
How'd you know?
No, I knew that.
Nine-banded armadillo.
Yeah, I remember reading that too. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Hansen's disease.
Yeah, Hansen's disease. So I have another question.
All right.
What do these three presidents, Taft, Polk, and Carter, Jimmy Carter, have in common and also that is unique to them among all the presidents? I'll give you a hint. It has to do with the spelling of their name.
Taft, Polk, and Carter.
And Jimmy Carter is a double because it's true of Jimmy.
But you're only using the last... You're only using their last names,
using
right?
The last name.
Okay.
Except for Jimmy Carter.
Oh. Anything to do with a typewriter board?
Yes, it does.
So it's...
All on the left... All in the left hand.
Yeah.
Well, it's all on one hand.
One hand, right.
Taft and Carter are both on the left. And
Polk's on the right.
Okay, good. All right, good.
That's all. Thank you.
Josh, is one of the cities that has the ugliest citizens Las Vegas?
Yes, number three on the list.
But some of these people are visitors.
Well, I don't know. I'm not commenting on the methodology.
Not the citizens, but the tourists. Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys. It's Hayes from San Francisco.
Hi, Hayes.
One thing I called in about, I think the best looking might be Miami.
No, actually, Miami was number six on the least attractive. Sorry about that.
Too many geezers, you know.
Yeah.
That's great. But I tell you what, while I was sitting waiting, you gave me my cherry. And the cherry is God Save the Queen from the Falkland Island War.
Oh, is that right?
No.
No?
You got the right war, the wrong song.
Oh,
don't
so you're
cry
half
for me, Argentina.
That was the one that they wouldn't allow on the BBC.
Josh just named it. Don't Cry for Me, Argentina.
Oh, you got me.
You were half right. We'll give you a bell.
Yeah, thanks. I would never have thought of the Falklands. I was going World War One, World
I know,
War Two.
Well,
right.
That's funny.
No, but all right. Well, I'll let you guys go.
Put it in your lap.
Thanks, Hayes.
Thank you.
And Josh, your turn, I think.
Okay. What movie is listed in the Guinness Book of World Records for having the highest box office to budget ratio, made the most money of any movie ever made, specifically $10,900 it brought in for every dollar it took to make?
Is that the one that they made for $47,000?
Like the Blair Witch Project?
The Blair Witch
Project. Blair Witch Project. All right.
We both get a bill.
$22,000 it was cost to make, brought in $240 million.
Right. Nobody ever heard of anybody
that?
In it again.
I kept meaning to see it.
Okay.
What was the first nation? I'm sorry, I'm just jumping ahead.
No, go ahead.
What was the first nation to adopt Christianity as a state religion?
Oh. It was a bona fide nation at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Good question. Would it give it away to give the century or year or whatever?
I don't think it would give away much. It was 301 AD. 301. So it's not the Habsburgs.
No. So this is pre-Constantine and the Byzantine Empire?
Sure, embarrass me on the radio about the fact that I don't know what year that was.
All right. Well, Constantine was the emperor that accepted Christianity.
I just don't know what year that was. So
it was around that time.
Sure.
But this was
301 AD.
Okay. So it's not that then. Would it be in the Middle East, what we would think of as the Middle East? Or... Sort of?
Yeah, ish.
Sort of, yeah.
Certainly not South America.
All right. I have to think about that.
All right, why don't you repeat
the question.
What was the first nation to adopt Christianity as a state religion? It happened in 301 A.D.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Janusz.
Hi, Janusz.
I'm sorry, Hungary is out of the running.
Yeah.
It became Christian in about 900. How about either Armenia or Ethiopia?
Armenia is good.
Armenia is correct. Well done.
All right.
Good.
The question about the university.
Yes.
If this is not it, then there are two, because I've been to this one. Not as a student, but I visited. And it's the Anton Bruckner University in Linz.
You're right.
Oh.
That's what I had.
Wait, is that the one?
That's it.
Ah. Is that where your degree is from, Janusz?
Anton who?
Anton Bruckner.
Bruckner. Linz is a wonderful place. Very quickly about leprosy, Hansen's disease. By the way, I've been to Kalapapa and to the then-open colony, and nobody there referred to Hansen's disease. It was still called leprosy.
Mm.
So what is the play and what is the film about leprosy?
You mean it's actually about leprosy? Or
it's the same?
Well, it's
same...
about the Belgian priest.
Oh, Father Damien.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
Is that the name of the movie?
Father Damien is the name of the play, which I saw in Kalapapa with the patients.
Huh.
And the film is called Molokai by Paul Cox.
Oh, interesting.
And just one 4th of July thing, the Patriot Act, very 4th of July, What is it? What is the acronym for?
Oh.
What acronym?
Patriot is an acronym.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that.
It is an acronym. Official government.
Patriot. It's Patriot Act.
Right.
That Republicans inculcated on. I don't know. No, I've got nothing.
The first letter is P, not R.
Yeah, Patriot Act. It's recursive. No, I don't know.
No, we don't know.
Tell us.
Okay, it's a good one. Providing appropriate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism.
Pretty much of a stretch, I'd say. Yeah.
No, no, you check it out, and it's
actually... No, I know you're right. I mean, the thing itself is a bit tortured.
Typical Washingtonian
stuff. A bit tortured, yeah.
Happy 6th of July.
Thanks, Amish.
Bye.
All right.
What do you got for us? Here.
Okay. I have a list of the 10 most performed, these are non-musical, 10 most performed high school plays in the U.S.
Sure.
I'll give you each a couple of guesses. Well, the 10 most performed non-musical high school plays in
non-musical.
The U.S. Non-musical, yes.
Could number one be anything but Our Town, or is that...
No, Our Town is definitely, but that's not number one anymore. Our Town is one, yeah.
12 Angry Men.
Yes, very good, very good. Yes, 12 Angry Men. I'll give you each another guess if you want.
Okay.
Our Town, 12 Angry Men.
Something that has a instruction theme of some kind, I'm sure.
Once more, I have a list of the 10 most performed non-musical high school plays in the U.S.
Are any of them fairly contemporary?
Yeah, a couple of them.
Are any of them Shakespeare?
Yes, one of them is.
Macbeth.
No, I was going to say Macbeth. Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes.
As having a large...
Why are you laughing? That's what we did in our high school
really?
Class. Yeah.
Well, we did Night of the Iguana in ours. So,
What a hip school.
Yeah, we were. Okay, so Midsummer Night's... Midsummer Night's Dream and 12 Angry Men and Our Town. Now, it gets a little harder after that.
In my high school, they did a great production of The Man Who Came to Dinner.
Oh, no, it's not on this list.
Oh.
It's great for...
That and You Can't Take It With You.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
That's what I think...
All right, I'll give that to
is
you.
Is that on the list,
yeah,
really? They're still doing that?
They're still doing that.
Boy, I thought that was just old-time stuff.
So, again, these are the most performed non-musical high school plays in the U.S. So far, we have Midsummer Night's Dream, You Can't Take It With You, 12 Angry Men, and Our Town. What are some of the others on that list?
That's a great question.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I have a question and a bitter comment.
A bitter comment, okay.
You had a trombonist last week and did not play the theme song at the top of the show.
Oh, well, we didn't want to overtax her.
Oh, okay.
You had a trombonist on the show?
Yes, Steve Rimstein has brought his daughter Anna, who goes to Oberlin and plays the trombone, and she did some musical clues playing on the trombone, but she did not play our theme song.
Okay. My question is, phonetically, what Academy Award nominated actress is an automotive description of Mr. Bean?
Description of Mr. Bean. You mean the character Mr. Bean, the silent character?
How about Leslie Carr Rowan?
Yeah.
Is that right?
No.
Oh.
Good one.
An automotive description of Mr. Bean.
I don't get the automotive Mr. Bean connection at all.
If you say her name, you have an automotive description of Mr. Bean. And she was nominated in the 80s, and she's still very active today in movies and TV.
Ooh.
A little convoluted for this boy.
I don't know. Maybe Josh can handle this.
I thought
she's British.
Rowan British. Was the right idea.
She's British.
She's get my back.
Active.
Mr. Pete Atkinson.
From the 80s to today. Emma Thompson? No. Maggie
Smith?
Is
she American?
No.
No, she's British.
British, yeah.
Maggie Smith.
Her initials are M.D.
M.D. All right. Did she win or was she just nominated?
Just nominated.
Oh, all right.
M.D.
Margaret Dumont. She's not still.
No, no. I wish it was that. MD. Oh, that, we should be getting him with the initials.
Yeah. You could work from the Mr. Bean direction to find out.
All I know about Mr. Bean is his actual name.
Rowan Atkinson. No, we can't do it. We can't do it in 30 seconds anyway.
The actress is Minnie Driver.
Oh, Minnie Driver. Yes. Okay.
Right.
That makes
sense.
Thank you. Sorry we didn't
Wait
do
a minute.
With that.
I get the car, but what's Mr. Bean got to do with that?
He drives a Mini.
He drives a Mini.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
So do I.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Sorry we didn't do better with that.
Excellent pun. Yeah, I didn't get it. Okay.
All right. We are about halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry?
I just have one. Why do Wimbledon tennis players always wear white?
And it's weather-related.
Weather-related, yeah.
Okay.
Travel and Leisure magazine readers voted residents of San Francisco as the most attractive residents of any U.S. city, looking for the other four in the top five, two in the South, two in the in New England, and the top five least attractive cities where the people are the least attractive. Las Vegas was number three, but there are four more.
Okay, and you didn't. I'm sorry, you didn't say what part of the country that the least attractive.
No, it's not so easy. One is in the east, one is in the west, one is in the south, and one is in the north. How about that? Of the four that are left.
Chicago.
No, Chicago was on the attractive list, number six.
All right. And gosh. All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in the park.
Hi, Peter.
For high school plays, how about The Crucible?
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Right.
Very good.
I should have got that.
And perhaps Almost Maine?
Yes, that's number one. And I have to admit, I'm not familiar with the play. Are you familiar with it at all?
What is it?
Called Almost Maine.
I never heard of it.
Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
Huh. All right.
There's a production at City College coming up.
Really?
Wow.
Who wrote it, do you know?
I don't know. I don't know who wrote it.
Hmm. Interesting.
I do not either.
Never heard of it. I'll have to look that up.
Huh.
And I have a question.
Yes.
We're celebrating the anniversary of July 4th, 1776, the beginning of the Revolutionary War, but something happened near the end of the Revolutionary War that was very significant and needs to be remembered, and happened on December 23rd, 1783.
December 23rd, 1783.
And it's actually really almost more significant than the Declaration of Independence.
It was more a political than a military event?
It was both.
Both, okay.
So it's not the Treaty of Paris or anything like that?
Slightly after that.
Okay. But it's related directly to the Revolution?
Yes.
Okay.
I will tell you that it happened in Annapolis, Maryland.
Oh. Anything to do with like Tories leaving the country because they don't want to be citizens here or anything like that?
No, not the Loyalists.
Annapolis, Maryland. Annapolis.
It took place there just because that's where Congress was meeting.
Oh. No, nothing like the last British flag being taken down or something?
No. Something really more significant politically.
No, we don't know.
Having to do with George Washington.
He was made general of the armies?
No, quite the reverse.
Oh, he resigned his commission. He retired from the army.
Yes.
Right.
He was the first military leader of a revolution to give up the military and political power.
Very good. Hmm. Very good. Very good. I wouldn't have gotten that without your hints, but
there you go. We need to remember that. More people should do that in this world.
When my time comes, I will resign from this position, too.
Oh, never, never.
Haven't gotten any hints.
No? All right. Jerry's waiting. All right. Thanks a lot. Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay. What three countries lead the world in coffee drinkers?
France.
No.
Italy.
No.
I'm done.
You're done. Two. I'll give you two guesses.
How about Turkey?
No. A good guess, but no.
United States.
No. U.S. is 16th.
Yeah.
Under a cup a day, which is interesting.
Oh.
I guess everyone's on tea now.
I've never even had a cup of coffee. I'm not good at this.
Well, you drag the... drag the country down.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Let's roll off the curve. Okay, why don't you repeat the question?
What three countries lead the world in coffee drinkers?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi there. The coffee drinkers, Greece?
No.
Colombia?
Nope.
All right, that's that. in terms of the ugly, beautiful people thing, is Dallas one of those?
It is not on either list.
Oh, man.
I know.
So I have a couple questions for you, culinary question.
All right.
Since we're in summer and soccer time, what is the only former professional soccer player to have earned 3 Michelin stars as a chef?
Ooh. Jeez.
Gosh.
I know more about cooking than soccer.
My list of soccer players is really pitifully small.
Pele.
Really? You know more than Pele? I got Pele.
No, I got a few playing now.
Pele is the only one anyone knows that I know.
You know, like Ronaldo and people like that. But
he's a former soccer player.
Former soccer player.
Professional. Huh. 3 stars.
Neymar.
Couple
Bobby Flay.
No.
Did Guy Fieri ever play soccer?
Thank goodness. No. The American.
He can't move, no.
So what country is this person from?
He's Scottish, actually.
Okay. I really don't think that's going to help
from
me.
From where?
All, but from Scotland.
Yeah.
Don't know.
The other question is, what's the difference between succotash and ratatouille?
Succotash is lima beans and corn, and ratatouille is made with eggplant and tomato, maybe, or something like that?
That's close, yeah.
Yeah, we'll give you a ding on that one. We'll give you a ding.
What is that? I mean, succotash I know, but I don't eat eggplant, so I never eat ratatouille. So what's in it specifically?
Onions, tomatoes, eggplant, zucchini, or some kind of summer
squash. Zucchini, that's what I was thinking of.
Garlic and basil. Usually.
Good.
All right, that's all I got for you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. It just flashed on me that I don't think we actually repeated. I think Jerry did, but
yeah, we did.
I don't think I did.
At the halfway point, we repeated.
I didn't. All right. So it's all my fault. All right. I think, what do we have here? I'm still looking for the, the whole question is, what are the 10 most performed non-musical high school plays in the U.S.? And so far we have Almost Maine, Midsummer Night's Dream, You Can't Take It With You, 12 Angry Men, The Crucible, and Our Town. So we still have 1, 2, 3, 4 left. And what is the only major U.S. city that does not allow schools, their public schools, to be named after slave owners?
Well, how about Seattle?
No, not Seattle. The only major U.S. city that does not allow its public schools to be named after slave owners. It's your turn, I believe, Josh.
Okay. Here's a question for you about the Winnie the Pooh books. In the Winnie the Pooh books, what is written on the board that is attached to a tree near Piglet's house? What does it mean, and what is it short for? This is a question for Pauline, if she were here.
Yeah, yeah. It would be.
So in the Winnie the Pooh books, Piglet has a board. There's a board attached to a tree near his house. What does it say on the board? What does it mean, and what is it short for?
Nothing to do with honey.
No.
I was just going to ask that.
No.
That's
the only thing I know about Winnie the Pooh.
Okay. If this were a long time ago, I probably could have remembered. But,
yeah. I know. If you don't know it, it's not going to come to you.
Yeah,
we'll wait for somebody
right
to call
that.
In. So we'll put this to the listeners.
All right.
What does it say? What is written on the board that hangs near Piglet's house in the Hundred Acre Woods in the Winnie the Pooh books? What does it mean, and what is it short for?
All right. The number to join us here on Minds Over Matter is 415-841-4134. Again, the number with a question or answer is 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday, at 7 p.m. All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, yeah. This is Eric from the Castro District.
Hi, Eric.
and the most attractive folk in San Francisco, or in the United States, I'd have to go through the gay areas, like Miami Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Provincetown.
No, I'm afraid San Francisco.
Your bias is showing.
Yeah,
here.
San Francisco scooped up all the good-looking gay guys, and
okay. Oh, that's too bad.
No, I think it's more a question of that there weren't enough gay guys to really tilt the whole population to good-looking.
Anyway, none of those that you mentioned were on the list, except for San Francisco.
Oh well,
sorry.
And at least it's like Newark, Houston, St. Louis, Birmingham.
None of those.
Oh, my God. And I would think the wearing white, I know you said it's a weather-related issue, but I would think it'd be more like a class issue.
No, no, it is not. It is weather-related.
Uh-huh. Well, so people can see each other and there are clouds of coal.
No, interesting theory. No, that's not it.
Oh. Okay. I have a question.
Right.
You know, like Ukraine has been in the news lately, and so I'm going to see if anybody knows what are the 6.5 countries that surround the Ukraine.
Well, Poland.
Russia.
Yeah.
Hungary.
Yeah.
Belarus.
Yeah.
Let's see. Moldova.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Romania.
I was going to say Romania or Bulgaria, one of those.
Not Bulgaria.
No, Romania then.
Yeah.
What do you mean when you say half a country?
Well, it's not recognized by anybody.
Oh.
South Ossetia?
Pardon?
South Ossetia?
No.
Oh, Transdniestria?
Yeah.
You guys are making these up. Come on.
No. Did we miss one?
Did we guess any?
Oh, yeah, you missed one. There's just a tiny bit that...
So it must be north. No, it could be
north.
The run of the republics.
One of
the former.
Unless
you know.
It's.
Well, it was a country that split in half, like right after everything changed.
Split in half. It's.
Oh, so Slovakia?
That's it.
Right. Okay. Good. Good.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Always, always happy to do country border questions.
Yeah, I love them.
Let's see.
Give us a country border question.
No flies.
Let me see what I got for you here.
No geography.
All right. Who were the first married couple to host Saturday Night Live?
Hmm.
Who were the first married couple to host Saturday Night Live? Both still around, well-known actors.
Still married?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Believe it or not.
So not Ossie Davis and Ruby Dee.
No. Very likable performers. Who were the first married couple to host Saturday Night Live?
Likeable.
Interesting.
And
likeable.
I will say it was 19... Likeable. Well, I mean, they're good performers. They're interesting.
So you mean like not Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes?
No.
Way before that.
Yeah. 1980, I believe.
Huh. I was going to say like Stiller and Mira, maybe?
Good guess.
Good,
very
good,
good
guess.
But no, not Stiller.
It should
and Mira.
Be it. Yeah. No. Yeah. Excellent.
Who were the first married couple? One of the very few. I think maybe there was one other. But who were the first married couple to host Saturday Night Live? 1980.
Ruth Gordon and Garson Kanin.
That's Ruth Gordon did, I think, host. But
did she really?
Not Garson Kanin.
No, I know. No. I'm just...
I think she did,
Ruth
actually.
Ruth Gordon,
I think
really?
She, yeah. Huh, I believe she did.
Huh.
In the early days, they had a lot of weird, like Broderick Crawford and people like that would show up.
Jessica Tandy.
And yeah, Josh, not Jessica Tandy, no.
Josh came up with the best. Stiller and Mira. Yeah.
All right.
So, I don't know. All right.
All right. So who was the first married couple to host Saturday Night Live, 1980? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I was going to say The Crucible, because we did that in 8th grade.
Yeah.
Someone got
8th
that.
Grade, oh my goodness.
Maybe Romeo and Juliet?
Not Romeo and Juliet. The only Shakespeare was Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay. For coffee-drinking countries, how about Scandinavians, Norway or Sweden?
Sweden is number 3.
Very good.
Okay. All right. Well, there's ugly people everywhere.
Yeah. Can't let them get to you.
We want to emphasize this is just out of a magazine. We're not casting judgment on anybody.
Well, as opposed to being off the internet or something.
Right, yeah.
Okay. All right, good night.
Thanks.
Good night. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David and Nancy from Berkeley.
Hi, David. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Nancy was driving, so I called. She guessed that the city that does not allow slave masters to be school names is Atlanta.
Not Atlanta. Good guess, but no, not Atlanta.
She also said Inherit the Wind as a...
Oh, very good guess.
A very good guess, but no, not Inherit the Wind.
I guess that's...
And then I say Of Mice and Men.
No, that's also an excellent guess. Yeah. Yeah, but no.
All right, but we've got one definite. She knew Trespassers W.
Yes.
Was a sign.
Correct.
Trespassers will be prosecuted.
It's short for, yes, Trespassers Will. And who's Trespassers Will?
I missed it. What's the question again?
Question is the sign outside Piglet's house. Trespassers W. And Piglet says it's short for Trespassers Will, which is short for Trespassers William. And does Nancy know who Trespassers William is?
No, but William was I don't remember. Wasn't William an animal or a... something. I don't know.
No, Piglet says it's Piglet's grandfather. He says my grandfather's name was Trespassers William, and they called him Trespassers Will for short.
Nancy did not know that, she says.
Okay, but you got the general idea.
Good job.
Very good.
And, coffee, country that drinks a lot. Cuba?
No.
Okay, now Nancy has a great question. Here, Nancy. We're near the radio. Sorry. Her question was. In the Declaration of Independence, there's a four-word phrase that's very, very important in our history, and there's something very different about the way that it is written than the way that we know this four-word phrase. Do you know what the difference is?
Is this the one that involves this controversial period?
Or comma?
Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? Period or not period?
It's not a... exactly. It's not a punctuation issue.
Okay.
It's a capital. It has to do with uppercase and lowercase.
Oh,
this rings a bell. Wait a minute.
Well, they used uppercase rather freely in those days.
Okay. It's not like, you know, white men, all white men are created equal or nothing like that. you know, because they didn't put anything about slavery in. Doesn't ring a bell. Rings a bell or kind of rings a bell?
No,
you, Josh?
I got nothing.
No, we got nothing.
Shall I tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Nancy, by the way.
Hi, Nancy.
The phrase United States of America occurs, but the U in United is not capitalized.
That's right. I noticed that on
adjective. It's an adjective, not a title.
Oh, that's interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I think that's it for us.
All right. Thanks a lot.
I've seen that. I didn't know why, but there's a grammatical reason, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Okay. And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas.
So the residents in New Orleans, are they well-dressed?
New Orleans is not listed on my list of attractive cities.
Okay. I don't know the city of the no slave owners, but is it in the state of Mississippi?
It is not in the state of Mississippi.
Okay, I'm really doing poorly. how about plays? I've written down Ring Around the Moon and Arsenic and Old Lace.
No. Another one.
Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yeah, that's good, but no.
That's good.
What about the married couple on Saturday Night Live?
All right. What about
Steve and Edie?
Steve and Edie. Oh, that's an interesting guess, but no.
And I just have a little story about Trespassers W.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the Berkeley Rep started, Michael Liebert started a restaurant with Bill Douglas, and they named it Trespassers W, which is a way of Bill to get his William name in there. I thought that was
that's funny. That's great.
You go back a ways, huh?
Do you count riddles as trivia?
Always happy for a riddle.
All right, go ahead.
It's what starts with an E and ends with an E and only has one letter in it.
Ah, okay. That's very nice.
Starts with an E and ends with an E and only has one letter in it.
I'm giving you guys a
chance. Are you? You're giving it to me?
Yeah.
Oh, he liked it. I love it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's lovely.
Starts with an E and
an envelope.
There you go.
There you go.
Thank
Give
you, Debbie.
Give yourself a bell.
Thank you, Debbie.
Bye.
That's
Thanks,
a good
Thomas.
One. That's a great one. Yeah.
That's very nice. One other one for the plays is, do they still do, as they did when I was young, A Member of the Wedding?
No.
Okay.
That's a little too
There are a couple comedies and other more traditional stuff. Yeah. Mm. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good.
Very good. So on December 14th, 2008, a very famous incident happened with the sitting president then. Do you know what it was?
December 14th.
Something involved with the president. Who was the president in 2008 anyway?
George Bush. W. Bush.
Okay, so on December 14th, 2008, he was involved in an incident.
Is that the
Did he? Was that when he choked on the pretzel?
No.
Is that when he had the?
No, he did.
Does that when he had the shoe thrown at him?
Iraq.
Yeah, he had the shoe thrown at him.
Yes. Okay. He had the shoe. All right. What was the name of the shoe?
He shared something with Hillary.
Name of the shoe?
What was the name of the shoe thrower?
Oh, the
name. Because time is short.
No. All right. Yeah.
Muqtadar al-Zayidi. And what did he tell Bush when he threw the shoe at George W. Bush?
I want it back when you're done. I don't know. No.
Okay, well, I'll read it to you. He said, "Farewell kiss from the Iraqi people, you dog." They called him a dog.
Well, he and Hillary share the same shoe, I guess. She had a shoe thrown at her, too.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, well, next time, I want to ask people, you know, we use Fahrenheit here. Most other countries in the world use centigrade. There is only one temperature where Fahrenheit and centigrade are equal. They're the same. Do you know which one?
I didn't know this. Come up at some point.
You know, for fun, I'll give it to you because people should know that. Minus 40 degrees.
Give
minus
us a 40. Chance.
What is it again? It's,
I knew it was minus
40 degrees.
Minus 40
negative.
Degrees. Okay.
Yeah, minus 40. Very cold. Very, very cold.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Eve. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And who has something short to throw in? Jerry?
Jerry.
I do.
I got another
let's
long
see.
One.
Okay. Let's see. What country topped the Dow Jones average last year's best performing stocks? Famous old company.
Oh, what company? I thought you said what country.
What company topped the Dow Jones average list of 2013's best performing stocks?
It's a famous old company.
Yeah.
IBM.
No. It was up 50% since the first of the year.
So they make a product.
Yeah.
Oh. Best performance.
Not something you'll find around the house. Yeah.
No? So it's not a gun or something. It's like a gun manufacturer.
No.
Yeah. It's an old company. No. Mm-mm. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Deborah in Oakland.
Hi, Deborah.
I have two guesses for the play. One is Bus Stop. And one is Waiting for Godot.
Those are both very good guesses, but no.
For the most attractive, Honolulu or San Diego?
No, good guesses, but not right.
My husband from Baltimore says Baltimore should be on the least.
He's right, it is. It's number 7.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
But that's only because he left.
Absolutely. For the coffee, I have two more Scandinavian guesses, Denmark and Finland.
Finland is number 2.
Good job.
All right.
Number 2, you haven't got the number 1, though.
Nope.
Okay.
Let's see. Who drinks a lot of coffee? Other than, as in Costa Rica, they drink coffee all the time. Brazil drinks coffee all the time.
They drink an awful lot of country.
This country drinks an average of 2.4 cups a day. It's not very much, but.
But it's not Brazil, then.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
And then weather-related guess for white. I have two. One is that they had to keep cool so nobody would overheat. The other is that you only wear white after in certain seasons, and so it was marking that it was a different season.
Well, Josh guessed that right away. No, it's not. It's not fashion, and it's not the first thing either.
Oh well, those are my guesses.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Hayes again.
Hi.
I hate it when I'm sitting here waiting and listening to you guys, because you keep asking questions that I think I know the answers to. So I'm gonna try and come out with some of them. The original thing, though, that I called about was they wear white so they can see how many water drips hit them before they decide to call off the game in the rain.
So they can, what's that again?
When it rains, they decide on how many water drips are hitting them, deciding when the rain is raining.
Oh, no, no, that's a very interesting question. It's no, that's not it.
Okay. The coffee, what about Morocco or Egypt?
No.
And the company that did really well, Ford?
No. They did do well, but not number one.
I'm so superb.
Those are all very good answers, but they're just not the right
one. That was a complete waste of time on your part.
I like that. Very good answers, but they're just not the right one.
All right.
See you guys.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's John.
Hi, John.
I'm calling for the plays. I'm going to guess A Raisin in the Sun and Harvey.
Harvey.
Yeah,
very
Harvey
good, yeah.
Was, I think they did it at my school, too, but no. Mm-mm.
Oh,
not currently.
Spoon River
anyway.
Anthology would have been my third.
No, not Spoon River.
Oh,
River.
Yeah, those are all good.
They are good.
Chestnuts, yeah.
Good, but not right.
Not
okay.
Right. Thank you, though. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi, Ryan.
So let's see, for the Saturday Night Live couple?
Yes.
How about Mel Brooks and Anne Bancroft?
Ooh. Good guess, but no.
No.
They're both still alive today.
For coffee, how about Japan?
No.
Or Turkey?
No.
For the play, these are actually probably the most banned plays in schools in America, but we'll try them out. The Laramie Project?
No.
And Angels in America?
No.
I have a question for you, if you have a moment.
Sure. Very quick.
This was in Gary Camilla's column a few weeks back. The first street name in San Francisco and the last street name alphabetically in San Francisco.
Oh, alphabetically.
Alphabetically.
Oh.
Ooh. Save it for next week.
All right.
Yeah, that's too good. That's too good.
I don't want to throw it away.
All right. But don't think about it over the night.
All right. We won't think about it at all.
We won't think about it or research it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. And all right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, good. For the Saturday Night Live, how about Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman?
That's very good. And I think they did guest host later on, but no.
Okay. And how about one to play, Auntie Mame?
Not Auntie Mame.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Time to clean up here. What do we got, Jerry?
Okay. Tennis players at Wimbledon wear only white. This goes back to the 1880s when the Wimbledon began. To avoid showing unseemly sweat stains, as instituted in the more prim 1880s.
Mm.
And the company that topped the Dow Jones average last year, best performing stock was Boeing.
Boeing. All right.
Good-looking people, in addition to San Francisco, live in Providence, Rhode Island, in Nashville, in Portland, Maine. I'm going to try and put a dent in that when I travel there next week. And Savannah, Georgia. Least attractive, Washington, D.C., number one. Salt Lake City, number two. Then Las Vegas and Anchorage and Memphis.
Oh, I forgot to give the coffee drinking.
Oh, yeah.
The Dutch drink 2.4 cups a day.
Sure.
Interesting. There's a big gay community in Portland, Maine.
Okay. I did not know that.
I was going to say Portland.
All right. Who was the first married couple to host Saturday Night Live? Paula Prentice and Richard Benjamin.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I like Paula Prentice.
Who doesn't?
She retired too early.
Yeah, she did. Paula Prentice and Richard Benjamin. The most performed non-musical high school plays, I'll just give you the whole list. Almost Maine, Midsummer Night's Dream, You Can't Take It With You, Noises Off.
Really?
12 Angry Men, Alice in Wonderland, The Crucible, Our Town, Fools, the Neil Simon play, and A Christmas Carol. The only major U.S. city that does not allow schools to be named after slave owners, New Orleans. New Orleans.
Huh. Oh. Interesting.
Wow. So if we do not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was well-known author, Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, Joshua Cosman. Thank you very much, Josh.
Thanks for having me.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and our thanks to Steve Wilcott and, of course, Debbie Kennedy for handling the board and the podcast. Thanks you very much, everybody. Have a great week. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.